Blog Talk Radio.
Live on Blog Talk Radio. The Candid Frank Live Show.
Candid Frank Live.
With
about half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill.
John the Argo Boat Logo Granger.
Candid Frank Live.
Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike. The CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medin. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th man, John Inch. John or his answering machine. Is that the real John or the answering machine, John?
No, it's me. I just caught.
All right.
I just touched the big,
all right. All right.
Hey, how you doing, Frank?
Good, John. How is work?
Oh, you know. You got to pay
the
bills, right?
There
you go. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I went to the bank. I went to the bank today, and they
said
to
me, "How was that?"
Yeah, it was all right. I just went to visit my money and say hello. And, it was kind of lonely, and there isn't that much of it, so, you know, it wasn't a long visit.
Yeah,
how about
you sound like you're still happy and smiling, so
of course, as long as you're not starving and living outside, it's all good.
Yes, and you were about to say, how about who?
And how about our friend Bruce, John Inch? Hey, buddy,
how are
you there?
Guys? Yes,
all right.
How are you, John?
Right.
How are you, Frank?
All right.
Good.
Christopher
good,
Jones
good,
won't
Bruce.
Be here. Christopher Jones won't be here. Also, we've got our buddy. Wait a second. A long time no be here. Okay, and who am I forgetting now? Who am I forgetting now?
The
out there.
No, Townsend.
Kelly Bale's on the line.
Ah, that's
hey,
who
Kelly.
It is. Okay. See, that's what happens.
How you doing, Kelly?
You blend in
you're
with the
good.
Crowd. And who
no
else
worries.
You got in here?
Gentlemen, what's going on, man? How you guys doing?
I thought
man,
so.
A
voice from the past.
Yes,
you've been busy?
Yeah.
The restaurant keeping you busy?
Yes, it is. Just putting all these extra hours in, you know.
Wait,
yeah, it looks like it, man. You're not even posting on Facebook.
Oh.
You know, you're taking care of business, as you would say.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's good.
Anything new going on?
Yeah. You know, John, why didn't you tell me they were getting together on Wednesday?
Well,
they had a free thing to brag about the fact that the Argos are going to have a stadium. They're going to be at BMO.
What?
It was up to open to the public.
Wow!
What kind of goodies?
I didn't know anything about anything like that.
That's
Frank.
What happens when you start working, John. That's what happens when you work. You don't have time to research stuff.
Hold on a
stuff.
Second. Can we rewind a month or at least 4 weeks where I mentioned to you guys there's a
six-stage
progress here in
what
in
the
play.
Heck? What the heck? What do I heck have here? I have six fucking friggin' I've got six Don Cherry.
Frank! Censorship! Come on! Play nice.
I have six Don Cherries here. Like a bunch of guys go, remember what I said? Remember what I said? Why bother having
tape? Oh, no, Frank,
why
listen. Don't even go there, buddy. The only thing that you got was what I gave you. And I gave it to you before it even came out. And I'm just telling you, it's still in play. I know everybody's going to say,
they invited the public. They invited the public out to witness the planning of the stadium, of which part of the stadium will be covered, and it'll be wide enough or long enough to accommodate a CFL. It was in the Star. I read it in the Star this morning. I was sitting at the bank going, now I know where all my money went.
That's unfortunate.
So, you know,
It's all good.
No, it is all good. And, John, I mean, truthfully, as far as this show is concerned, from the very beginning, I joked at the beginning that it was something that needed to be done because it would just help, you know, make a more complete set for the powers that be that own the Leafs and everything else.
Frank said it would be a horrible thing if MLSC bought the.
No, I said no.
Vanessa, tell him. Go ahead, Vanessa. You go tell him.
No. What I said was, I was being sarcastic and having fun that because the Argos were a winner, and when I realized that the Argos were going to be bought by MLSC, they were going to become like rest of the teams in Toronto, losers. That's what I said.
Yeah, you're right. That is what you said, but it's basically what
that
I'm saying.
That doesn't mean I didn't think it would happen. That doesn't mean I just meant I didn't like it.
Yeah,
but you know what?
No.
They brought this new guy in, Lewicki. After that, John, after I said that, which is almost a year, Lewicki's been in power. Well, I like him because at least he does what he says he's going to do. You know, he goes in and he looks at guys in the face and he says to the guys, this is, what are you planning on doing to make this team a winner? And if they hesitate...
He's a straight shooter.
And even if they hesitate, they're history. And that's a good thing.
It is.
And I've always said, and I'll always say, that a winner wins and a loser loses. That's the way life goes. You know?
Let's not talk about the Ticats. Let's talk about something.
But, that's
a good one.
Could I add something on Tim Lewicki real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I think the reason I think he's such a great fit for the Argos is, I don't know if you guys follow the MLS at all, but...
Oh, yeah.
What he did in Los Angeles with the Galaxy was amazing. I mean, you talk about a market that's got all kind of competition, the Lakers and all the other teams. But he took that team and he turned it not only into a multi-million-dollar generating organization, but bringing in David Beckham for $250 million, and now they're just the premier team in the league. And I just saw a report now they're in the top 30 of money-making teams in the entire nation. This is football, basketball, baseball all combined.
Wow.
So,
and for an MLS team, that's pretty awesome.
That's jaw-dropping. So if he could do that in that market in L.A. where there's so much entertainment to compete against, I think he's the guy for the job to make it happen in Toronto.
Yeah.
Well, that's just it. If there's nothing else that he proved that he knows what he's doing is when he met with the basketball management here in Toronto, the Raptor management. And he said, "Nah, sorry, you ain't the guys." And he brings in Ujiri, as I like to call him, Messiah, Messiah Ujiri. He brought him in, and the team already is being better. It's done better, and I'm not saying they're going to win a championship this year or anything, but winners win and losers lose. It's that
simple. Well, they're winning tonight, but they're beating they're beating Sacramento tonight right now by 19 points and 9 minutes left in the fourth. So, they're playing the guy who they traded for all this extra players that they got, and they're getting all
that's
the success.
Right.
Gay is who they got or traded. Yeah, they traded him away and got a whole bunch of guys who really wanted to play. And look what they're doing. I mean, I think there's something like 26
Patterson.
Or 12. Yeah.
They got no competition.
The Raptors are third in the East. No one in their wild imagination thought they were going to be that good.
Toast.
Yeah.
Bruce's point, you guys are
hearing what Bruce said, and Bruce makes a valid point that the East.
In the West.
But Bruce, you have to admit, I know what you're saying, Bruce, and you're right. But of late, the Eastern teams have been pulling up their socks. Not just the Raptors.
Brooklyn.
If you look at the standings today, and I'm talking about winning percentage. Today and go back 2 months. I know it's hard to believe if you haven't been following the NBA, but they were worse about a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Sure.
Right? They were even worse. So, you know, with the Raptors pulling up their socks, Brooklyn, yeah, you guys are right, yeah. You know, it's a whole different kettle of fish when you've got a GM or a new owner that says to you and looks you in the eye and says, we're planning on winning here. Hope you want to be a part of it. By the way, if you're not part of winning, you'll be gone. And then you're gone.
Yeah.
And that sends the message to the rest of the guys.
Right. And honestly, as people in Toronto, wouldn't you guys rather see your team make it to the second round and then get swept by the Heat than be a lottery team every year?
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
There's not much to be said. You know, being a lottery team isn't that good a thing.
No, it's horrible.
It's not what you strive for.
Yeah, I mean, at least think about the entertainment of the fact that they could probably win in the first round. And, I mean, you never know. I mean, they get in that second round, whether it be Indiana or Miami, and you never know how the ball may drop. They could at least give a team a run for their money, and there you go.
Manasseh, even, you know what? Some people might going, oh, look, Manasseh's like dreaming for Toronto. Actually, Manasseh's being very conservative, because if Manasseh really wanted to make his point with a heavy hand, he could say, don't you want a chance to win the championship? And haven't there been teams that during the season didn't monopolize or you know, destroy other teams and then win a championship? In history and sports, there are a lot of teams that were, I don't want to say mediocre, because that might be underselling it, but there have been a lot of teams who weren't that good during the season but just got hot at the right time, punch a ticket, and baby, guess what? They win a championship. So, you know, Manasseh, you're 100% right, and even more right than you're even saying. It's better that the Raptors get in there and give their fans something to cheer about. You know, who cares about being a lottery pick? You know, I mean,
yeah, really.
They've got guys, you know, how many guys that are lottery picks disappear into nowhere? You know, there aren't that
Andrea
many.
Andrea Bargnani.
Well, there's one, and, you know, and they got rid of him, and the team has played better. I mean, it's too bad. You know?
Right.
It's too bad, but you're right. And you know what? Serge isn't here tonight because he's watching the Raptor game.
I know, and for all the NBA fans, I don't know if you guys don't like basketball, but, you know, the Raptors have what it takes to really make a deep run in the postseason, because they have the key, you know, element that any team that wants to do anything in the postseason to do, and that's defense. And it starts with their coach, Dwayne Casey. And Kyle Lowry's a guy that if they go up against the Miami Heat, I'm telling you, he's going to bully that position at point guard, and I think DeRozan could give Wade a run for his money just with his athleticism. It would not shock me in the least bit if the Raptors, if they did make it to the second round, they actually challenge Miami and take it to at least 6 or 7 games. I'm not kidding. It sounds crazy, but they have the matchups, you know. Amir Johnson
LeBron and the Heat have been inconsistent this year. They've had good days and bad days.
Yep.
Mostly good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in a seven-game series, you know, there have been upsets.
But, yeah, I mean, imagine what that would do to the Raptors brand if they even made it to 6 games against Miami in the second round. I mean, that'd be the equivalent of them winning a title compared to what they've done the last 15 years.
Well,
you know, it's like...
Well, Manasseh, they've got a team right now that has their point guard is playing for next year's contract. You know, and this guy that you referred to, he is the real deal. And since Gay has been gone, since the coach and the GM have sat him down and talked to him and said, look, you know, we want you to be what you're going to be. And since he said, you know what, I'm going to create a body of work this season. I'm not talking about playing a good game today and let's talk contract tomorrow. I'm not even going to think about a contract till the off season. I'm going to show you what I can do. And if you don't appreciate me, I find somebody that will. I mean, anybody that can rise to that occasion. I know a lot of people sit there and go, oh, yeah, he's playing in a contract year. Well, you know, that's a lot of pressure. And any player that can play well in a contract year, how much better pressure do you want to see a guy play under?
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys got the heir apparent to Vince Carter. You finally found a replacement for the guy in DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan is a class kid. DeMar DeRozan has no ego. DeMar DeRozan has bought into the coach's ideas and his plan. Casey is all about defense first. But that doesn't mean that he's strangling the offense. It just means that he wants the guys to do what it takes down low and in their end. and then head the ball, you know, back up court. They've done a great job. I'm pleased with the way they've been playing. And, you know, if they were a CFL team, which is normally what we talk about here, we'd all probably be on different sides of the fence.
But well, right now, if Christopher was here, he'd say, "Hey, Frank, why are we talking CFL? Why are we talking NBA for?" Because Chris doesn't watch NBA, I don't think.
Now, you know what? Chris is horsing around right now.
Oh, that's a low blow.
No, he is. No, he's horsing around. He's bringing five horses or something like that, five or six horses to a birthday party.
Cool. Hey,
okay.
Guys, what I'd say about the Raptors from a Western perspective, what I've really noticed this year is they've got five guys that can put 30 points in the net, like, on any given night. You know what I mean? And
I know. That's scary. That's
some
scary.
Some of them have done it the same night.
What about Terrence Ross?
Yeah.
Like, this guy came right out of nowhere.
Tied Carter's record.
No
Didn't
kidding.
Know.
Yeah, and yet was averaging 10 or 11 points till then.
Yep.
Absolutely.
But, you know, guys, and we can make this parallel in the CFL as well. As fans of sports and as fans of football or basketball, for that matter, coaching does mean a lot. But if the guys don't buy into it, it doesn't matter. And it really is almost catching lightning in a bottle, right? I mean, you got to get a coach that's heard by the players. You know, that same coach won't be heard elsewhere. Those same players won't listen elsewhere. You know, Gay left, and all of a sudden the team... You know, it was almost addition by subtraction.
It was the 2012 Argos. They got rid of Corey Boyd. They get rid of Gay, and there you go.
No, let's not compare it.
There's an actual parallel.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect comparison. Yeah, Boyd was considered the face of the franchise. He was the leading player.
No, that's because Gay at least blocked.
Oh, you call yourself a friend of Boyd? Oh,
you
got to
take the shot if it's there. Who's not going to take the shot if it's there? I got to take the shot. Come on.
Oh, you didn't
block.
Take the shot. I agree. You did take the shot. And I want you to know, Corey, it wasn't my idea. Corey, that wasn't my idea. Mr. Boyd, I have all the respect in the world for you. But you know what? You make a move, and that's what happens. And you know, this year, you know, we've got a situation on many a front this year that really there are a lot of teams out there that you could compare to the Raptors the way they started this year. This year you're going to have Winnipeg coming out like a Raptor at the beginning of the season. You're going to have Edmonton. Yeah. You know, you're going to have the Argos. You're going to have Montreal. You're going to have Ottawa.
Yeah.
And I know, John, I know how – it's not because I'm not a diehard Argo fan, because I'm a diehard Argo fan, but I'm also a realist. Our team, as well as those teams that I mentioned, you know, and I'm going to slide Calgary in there as well, you know, where there's a lot that's gone on, and you can almost, you know, stretching it a bit, Kelly. You could throw Saskatchewan in there too, because you really don't know what you're going to get from them. I'm just saying,
We have a tryout camp, essentially, and we've got 18 new bodies or whatever it is. So, yep, you're right.
You know, so the whole league is going to be like the Raptors. And the question is, which are going to be the Raptors of old and which are going to be the Raptors, you know, the new Raptors? And then, of course, the season's not over yet, so the Raptors haven't, you know. I just keep following. I keep looking. I keep watching. I'm going, they won again. They won again.
Okay.
Holy crap, they won
can
again.
Can I pose a question to Frank, John, and to Bruce, seeing that you guys are Toronto and Hamilton fans? With all the moves that happened up till now, including coaching changes, do you guys have anything changed as far as your view of how things in the East are lining up? Is it still Hamilton 1, Toronto 2, or
I'm not
Toronto
giving
up
first. I'm not. You know what, Manasseh, I don't know. I don't care what I've said before or what you think I've said before. Let's start today, and because this is the message I think I'll give from my opinion. There's a lot of work to be done yet. I don't think we can really judge the season yet by a player personnel perspective. After all, even Montreal just hired their coaches. Higgins just brought in his coaches. So, you know, we're not deep into the setting our teams up thing. But to answer your question, as of today, yeah, Hamilton's ahead of Toronto today. But Toronto isn't okay. Toronto, and I'm more and more believing this now. Now, John,
so that's
John,
Frank's opinion. That's Frank's.
Yeah,
I want to hear Bruce's opinion, and then I'll chime in on that. But go, you know, that's Frank's opinion. Bruce, what do you think, Bruce?
Well, I got to agree with Frank. Obviously, I don't know why he's saying Hamilton's going to be first when he's an Argo fan, but that's okay.
he's speaking logically.
That's why. You know.
Right. Exactly.
There's fantasy and then there's reality, right?
Right.
You know, but based on that, yeah, like we took, you know, I'm going to have all the confidence in Zach Kolaris. We took him from you guys. You guys gave him away after he took you guys, you know, to the semifinal, to the Eastern Final. And then Ricky Ray stepped in and choked as usual.
oh, wow.
Well, he choked in that game, bud.
You're talking about the past.
You're always talking about the past, how you won the Grey Cup in 2012. So who's talking the past?
I'm trying to answer Mike's question. I'm going to say his question. That's what I'm trying to get to. So.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying it's going to be probably Ticats, Ottawa.
All right.
And then Toronto and Montreal.
Wait, hold on. Time, Mike. Did you say Ottawa ahead of Toronto?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
You did.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, well, you know what? Bruce also said he won the Grey Cup last year, so let's go there. But
that's
anyway,
right. At least we got to the Grey Cup, right?
Yeah, true. You got there. And that's great. You got your Grey Cup in Toronto in the Eastern Final. I'll give you that. I see it this way. I see with the chemistry is always the most important thing on every single team. You might not have the star, but if the chemistry is there in the stands and on the field. The way it's playing out right now and the momentum, I don't believe has started for the Argos yet. I'll get to them in a second. I think Hamilton, right now they got the stadium, which is going to create a lot of hype. It's going to create a lot of newism, if you want to call it a word, where they're going to be
positive,
in the spotlight.
Yeah. Freshness.
They're going to be hyped up. They're going to have their fans, you know, all geared up with a new quarterback who maybe is not used to this kind of a situation. And he might jitter a little bit. And is there a backup plan? We'll see. Kolaris, like I said, if he gets the protection, he can get out of the pocket. He can make things happen for Hamilton. We'll see how the chemistry plays out with him. He's got to be a leader here. In Toronto, there was always a leader, and it's Ray, who was nurturing Kolaris. Now it's on his own, and Austin's going to be nurturing. There, with Hamilton, that's my view. With Toronto, guys, I think the momentum and the chemistry is even going to build more when they find out who their new owners are in a week or so.
When they make an official decision on the building, and then once that's done, the owners can step in. Because MLSC isn't stepping
in
until they know they've got the stadium.
The players' mentality, Frank, the chemistry and the players' mentality, they feel like they're part of a power organization now, no longer the small dog. You know?
Power brand,
and they're also visualizing that, you know, the team has a future now, and they have money. So it's another attraction to bring good players here. In Ottawa, Ottawa is going to have its excitement because it is going to be something fresh, something that the fans have been waiting for a long time. And they need a team that plays in the summertime. You know, they cheer for Ottawa, the hockey team, but they need something outdoors in the summertime. And, you know, the soccer team and the baseball team that they have, AAA or whatever they had before, did a little bit. But they want something professional. CFL was always part of Ottawa. They're going to have their happiness with just being in the league. They're not going to win games, guys. Not many. They're going to be in last. I know Bruce said, you know, second, third, whatever. I just think it's going to play out with Toronto, Hamilton, and Montreal. Again, going for second and third. At least in my mind, that's the way I like it to play out. I think Montreal is going to be the surprise. I think you guys, you know, we're all cheering for our own teams, but Montreal, to me, is the one that I'm fearing the most this year. That's where I'm looking at what they're putting together. I know Serge is going to say, yeah, John's right, because he's the Alouette fan, but that's my view of how I think Manasse.
Okay. All right. Kelly, you got any thoughts?
You know, I'm right there with Frank, essentially. I'm picking Hamilton as the early favorite to win the division, but that's just the early favorite. I do agree that we can't, you know, imagine how the games will play out according to player personnel only. There's a lot of factors that happen throughout the year, and we all know about that as we're pretty close with our teams. Yeah, I think Ottawa will win 6 games, and I think they'll beat some Western teams to do it.
So how do you see the East playing out? You got Hamilton 1, Toronto 2?
Yeah, Hamilton 1, Toronto 2, yeah, Montreal 3.
But let's be clear, though. You said at this point, and I don't think
I don't think
Toronto shot their bolt yet, and to add to what John was saying, and to make sure you guys clearly understand where I'm coming from, I hold a lot of hope for the Argos when the season starts. We still haven't had the draft. We still haven't finished with what's going to happen with the free agents. We still haven't finished with the imports that come from the U.S. that are released by NFL teams. We're still only at the beginning of March, and the season doesn't start till June. And there's still time for the Argos Stadium to be announced as officially going to happen. It's all but said that it's going to happen now. Everybody was introduced to it Wednesday night. It was a public display for everyone who wanted to know about the Argos and where they might be playing and how BMO will be switched and changed. Once the city approves of that, John. I know we're going to agree about this. Once the city
says we're going to do the stadium.
Once the city says, here's the signature, you guys, we're going to support you retroing the stadium. That's when MLSC is going to buy the Argos, because they're not going to buy the Argos until they know there is no doubts about anything, because their announcement's going to be concrete. We're taking a team over and we're going to win a championship, because that's what's going to be said. It's what's been said at the beginning of each season for every team that MLSC owns. And Ted Lewicki's going to want to stand there and say the same thing again. We're glad to be involved in football. We're glad to have gotten rid of the idea that we actually need to go NFL style. The NFL, finally, we buried that stuff. I'm glad to see that go. That'll come in its own time, you know. And they're going to make a comment, and they're going to say, and that's what MLSC wants, right? They don't want the baloney of a one-game NFL Buffalo Bills retread team that sucks coming into Toronto pretending they're the prima donnas of the world and that everyone should kneel at their feet and kiss their toes. You know, instead, what they're going to say is, football in Toronto is the Argos. And that's what MLSC is going to come and say. And that's what John's talking about, excitement. The excitement's going to be that big money, big corporation, big TV, big sports network is going to throw their support behind the Toronto Argonauts, which is something the players have never seen. And the guys who work in the office, John.
Right. Yeah, them too. Nancy, did you hear that Buffalo pulled out?
Yes.
Yeah.
And my buddy announced it. My buddy announced it.
Yeah. There goes that pipe dream.
Yeah. So, and that's not a coincidence, John. All the ducks are, you know, to use your phrase, you know, six-part plan. You know, probably 6A, 6B, 4-3, and blah blah blah. at the end of it all, the Argos are going to make a big push when they're going to make their big push. They're going to let everybody else do what they're going to do. Then watch out. Because, you know, Bruce, I'm sorry, but whatever the Ticats can do, the Argos are going to be able to do twice as hard. And Saskatchewan better watch out, because there's going to be a fan following in Toronto to compare with Saskatchewan. And I wish Chris was here when I said that, you know, to compare with them and the BC fans. And it'll be great for the CFL.
I got to say something to that. I definitely agree, Frank. And you know, I've been on the record before saying I agree with you. I think that's the direction they're going to go, is really, really, really pump the organization. But, guys, I just wanted to say that this is the biggest feel-good story the CFL's had in a long time. And I loved hearing it. It made me so happy. Like, I can't even explain. And I've been a happy guy all week because of this news story, and great for Toronto and great for the CFL.
Great for the CFL. It deserves a lot more respect in Toronto than it's gotten over the years. You know, it's not
huge
about being a guy in Toronto here. It's about being a CFL fan and knowing how great a league it is and how undersold it is and how underappreciated it is. It feels really good for everyone else because, you know, as much as it's too bad Christopher isn't here, because, you know, the hate that he has on for Saskatchewan, which he'll deny that he has, you know, and I wish he was here, and he knows I say it lovingly, That's the kind of hate that Toronto has. But if Toronto's not as good as Saskatchewan, that hate doesn't feel good and doesn't generate any excitement. You get what I'm saying? So a good Toronto team, with the hate that Hamilton, guys like Bruce John Inch have on Toronto and the Argos, it's a lot better if their team's good and our team's good, because then, you know, we get to have it out, not only as winners, you know, in Ontario along with Ottawa, but we get to say we're going to kick each other's butts because it's going to mean the Grey Cup. Right, Bruce?
Absolutely.
It's better than the old days when we used to say, which one of us is going to win the third game this year?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I like tight games, don't get me wrong.
So
well, it's
all about
fun. Fun year. I mean, fun year. This all this stadium news. I'm just thinking while you're talking, Frank, regarding all these stadiums and all these cities, with Toronto getting one, you know, Ottawa, Hamilton, Saskatchewan, you know, Winnipeg has its. Who's going to be the ugly duckling now in the league? I'm thinking
Calgary.
Yeah, maybe Montreal too, a little bit kind of thing.
Oh,
they should
no, don't go there.
No,
I mean,
Montreal's
kosher.
Got a nice stadium,
it's,
man.
It's kosher. It's nice. It's cool. But I don't know. I'm thinking. You know, they're talking about kind of doing something with university. In a different way. They expanded on it. It looks nice. Of course, they updated it. It looks gorgeous. So what do you say, Calgary? Who said Calgary? Vanessa?
Yeah, it's me.
Yeah, okay. I would have said
Edmonton,
maybe Edmonton.
Calgary?
Yeah. I like Calgary. Calgary, you feel the field. Edmonton, you feel far. You just feel far. It doesn't feel as close. I mean, you're in a pit.
John, you've said it before, and I agree 100%. They should have a track meet while they have the football game so people can see what's going on.
I know. I just wish they could do something. But they can't do nothing. You know, they can't do nothing. But they're stuck with that track. And it is what it is. But I think, to me, Edmonton would be the one. Isn't that weird, guys? I think about a decade ago, we were thinking, wow, this league is kind of just on its thread, and all I hear is positive stuff everywhere, especially this year. Kelly hit it. It's like a happy, feel-good year coming up.
Yeah, because the Argos was the last chip to drop. You know, they were the big elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Everyone was wondering what's going to happen, and now that this finally happened, and it's like as soon as the Empire gets, you know, is resurrected and they're back on top and they're like the big evil Empire that everyone hates, the CFL's popularity is going to shoot through the roof. Can you imagine?
Oh,
I mean, it all is going to come down to once they release the stadium designs, what they're actually going to build, that's when the excitement is really going to start to build, because people are going to be like, wow, this is something that's really going to be, you know, top-notch. So,
you know, that's the danger, though, you know, Manasseh, that's the danger. It better blow your socks off, because if it doesn't...
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I'm a little bit disappointed. Sorry not to say this, but I'm a little bit disappointed with... I understand the stages that they're announcing, the look and everything, but this is not the look that I was told, the look, okay?
Exactly.
And this is the minimal political look. You gotta minimize it so it looks right fit, but they're going to spruce it up when they get all the green lights from all the political levels. And when they see how much money they're going to invest or who's going to invest and how much they have to give back to the government, then they're going to see how much money they have left to play. And they're going to kind of put the touches on. Because what I'm seeing so far is not what somebody gave me the visual of where there were three models and all that stuff. So,
did they actually release something or did they?
Yes. That's what I'm telling you. They had a picture in the Toronto Star, Manasseh. If you look at today's Toronto Star.
Could one of you guys maybe post that on Facebook on the page?
I actually held the newspaper in my hand. Okay. I got the newspaper this morning, and I was looking. I'm going, so I could have seen the stadium. Boy, do I look like I'm on top of everything. And it was on Wednesday.
What is it like? What does it look like?
What I'm going to say is this, and please, Ottawa Red Black fans, don't get mad at me. A lot like what they're doing. A straight lid.
Oh.
What did you see, Frank? I didn't see that.
In the Star. Carolyn,
no, I'm talking about the visual video of the news. I saw the...
Oh, I didn't see it on the
models.
I didn't see it on the news. So what did you...
Okay, so what I saw was this. originally I heard it was going to be one side expanding. Now both ends will stretch out, and both sides will be covered. Won't look nothing like Ottawa. It'll be even, all square-like. It's not going to be any like both sides on each side will be even.
Put it this way, John. Put it this way. Put it this way. The lids are going to be square, not roundish. Not roundish.
Yeah, so it's not going to be like Winnipeg.
But Manasseh understands. Yes, exactly. See, Manasseh got it with him.
Oh,
and
wow.
He understands the difference between Lansdowne
so
and like you know, more of a seashell.
Right, it's
going to
be like, it's not, yeah. Right, I understand
what
you're saying.
It's basically just, what it is, it's going to be like, in a trailer park, you know, the awning that comes out of a trailer.
Yeah.
Well, remember, I
really had high hopes. If they're going to just do that, I mean, come on. I mean, they're talking about $162 million being put into it. I was thinking for that price tag, I mean, Winnipeg Stadium costs $190, right?
Yeah, but
so
that's
if you
Winnipeg.
Take a $60 million stadium and add $162 million of, you know, renovations to it.
That Winnipeg Stadium, if you put it in Toronto, just double it. Because of the expenditure of Toronto and the cost, just everything costs more here. Everything costs more. Even just getting the materials in because of traffic will delay time and all that stuff.
Wow.
So just double it, okay? So you got to think about the logistics in that. So what doing right now, as I said, these are the political models. They don't want to make it all with the bells and whistles because it's going to look like a big expenditure.
They don't
want to
scare them off.
Light, yeah, and plus, who says they can't keep refurbishing it once they, you know, put both teams in? They can continue doing stuff to it. It's theirs to do whatever they want because they're paying everything back to the city, whatever the city and the government's putting in. They're going to pay them back over a period of time. So basically the city's going to say, okay, we're going to help you because we want to be part of this and it's our land and blah, blah, blah. And eventually you guys are going to give us all your money back and we'll let you do whatever you want with it.
Yep.
I don't know, man. It sounds kind of bad. I mean,
well,
if they're going to, I don't
again,
know. I'm worried.
Remember what I told
now,
you before? Do you understand the exhibition grounds? Look at the bird view of it. You'll see there is no room. They're right now even basically allowing this to happen because there's no parking for both these events to go on. Convention centers, those meeting buildings that they have events going on, and then 40,000 or 35,000 at an event. Okay, at the BMO field. So they just barely got this squeezed through, and they got to give the minimal look of the stadium. I don't believe the model that we're looking at right now that they're saying to the politicians is going to be the final model. I believe it's going to be even better than what we're seeing. I hope.
Oh,
but
actually, it's not bad. I'm looking at it right now on the website. Yeah, if they're building that, that's nice.
It's nice.
Yeah, that's not bad.
What website
really
you under, buddy?
Yeah, I went to the just type in on Google renovated BMO Field Toronto Star and it'll take you right to their page and they have like four photos, like they have the layout photos and they actually have like a rendering of it and the rendering looks pretty nice.
Hey, if you ever sat at the Rogers Center for a football game, this is like a jewel. Okay.
Right, exactly.
Compared to the Rogers Center.
Sure.
So happy, giddy up. Let's get there.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, guys,
even
at the same time.
It's going to be one of the best stadiums in the CFL. I mean, look at it. That's beautiful. I don't know why you guys are so down on that.
No.
At the same time, guys, if you wanna also Google EPL stadiums, and you know, it's very similar to a lot of the English Premier Soccer League stadiums that are being done, basically refit kind of thing to accommodate their modern needs.
And they work.
Oh, I see. But for the Argos, you guys are going to have no end zone seats. Oh, wow. So, okay. You
they might
they
be able
did?
To move them in. No, you guys can move in temp seats, can't you?
No, they showed the layout.
Yeah.
Like, for Toronto FC, it's going to have 30,000 seats. And then for the Argos, there'll be only 25,000, and they're going to get rid of all – the field basically takes away the end zone seats. Like, it shows
that's
you
cool.
on their thing.
I'm good with that. I think our fans in the end zone right now in the Rogers Center are a waste because
they
should be behind the visitor's bench. I mean,
no, Frank, you're absolutely right, Frank. It's going to be just like Ottawa Stadium. Oh, no. Oh, that's – oh, I'm sorry, guys. Wow. Okay. Well, you know, it's better than what you guys got, so at the end of the day,
hello.
You can't complain.
No, but hang on. Listen to what John is saying. And like I said, please don't – Ottawa fans, don't get mad at me because this is Toronto, and don't think I'm just hyping up Toronto.
You don't have to apologize. Just
I'm just saying. I'm being honest.
We all thought they were going to do more, and it's
special. They're coming from a different direction. They're coming back to the league, you know, and they have to, you know, they're not a big community like Toronto, you know. Let's be real here. You know, as far as what Toronto has to do to attract football fans, all right, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about, you know, rejuvenating an old fan base and add some really a big lump of new fans to bring the stadium to about 30,000, you know, people in stadium with a desire of 40 to be in there, you know, ensuring that it's sold out every week, you know, type thing. That's what Toronto needs to do, right? And the number that has to be in there guaranteed every week is 30,000 for Toronto to be the team it needs to be. That's all I'm saying. And for 30,000 people to show up at that stadium every week, there's got to be a little bit of a bell and a little bit of a whistle like John's talking about.
For sure.
Right? So, you know, and John's right. John's right. Right now, all they're doing is they're saying, look, they're being like a car dealer, right? They're like a car dealer, right? This is a great car. It's worth this much money. We're only going to spend this much money. You know, it's not a jewel, you know, but it'll do what it needs to do. Then they sell you the car, and then you buy a new transmission, and then, you know, you got to do some body work, you know. And before you know it, you're spending another 10, 15, 20, 25% more on what you thought you were buying. It's just that's the way it is. And, you know, they have to satisfy... They have to satisfy
projects
people politically.
In Toronto.
Right?
Projects in Toronto go over by 50%.
All the time.
If you look at it, at the end of the day, you guys are basically going to have the Ticat Stadium, but with a partial roof over your heads. You guys are pretty much doing the exact same thing.
Yeah,
right.
I love those concepts for football.
I prefer
the two grandstands.
I think it's a different feel when you have a partial roof over your head. I really do. It's that way in Winnipeg and that way in Seattle, and they know what they're doing. And I'm looking forward to Ottawa and Toronto a lot more than Hamilton. I think Hamilton is more the two bank style.
Well, it's the same. That's the whole point. It's the two big grandstands. It's basically, it's not a bowl. That's the whole issue, right? That's what makes Winnipeg
so
special.
Yeah, and I prefer the bowl. I prefer the bowl.
Right.
Frank.
It's a space. It's the space. Ontario Place, Exhibition Grounds, there is no space. They would love to make it into something.
No.
You know, it's just no room. There's a highway right beside, Lakeshore is right there. They got all the buildings there.
Let's move the highway. Look at that.
Well, you also, Frank, got to factor in, like, they're trying to make sure the stadium is right for the soccer team, too, meaning by that.
Well,
Who cares about the soccer team?
Well, I mean, Frank, they're the primary team.
They're the money maker in the situation. Let's get something straight. They don't want us there, so I don't like them.
Well, forget that. I mean, we're talking about money-wise.
You don't have to like
them. I'm a Reds fan. I mean, I like TFC. I've been always a TFC. I was in the stands for the first 3 years cheering these guys
on. I'm kidding. Holy crap.
Come on. Don't.
I'm kidding. Holy crap. Relax. I'm kidding. Listen, whatever works, as long as, and you know, at the end of the day, what Lewicki promises and what he's promised the soccer fans, the TFC fans, is we are if there are any changes made to the way you see the game, it's only going to change for the better. As long as he keeps that promise, you know, as long as they don't put a track between the field and you know, the stands, John and I will be happy.
That's a good one. Listen, I'm a double happy camper. I mean, I'm going to be going to one stadium for both my teams, and I like that. I mean, I was doing it for the Jays and the Argos, but I prefer – with the situation here, I'm loving this. As a TFC fan and an Argos fan, very passionate. Of course, you know, favoring Argos more. They need my support more, I believe. I'm loving this. This is exactly the perfect situation. The only thing that you have to understand, the roof is being built because as Frank knows, we can't use the drums without the roof coverage. Otherwise, our drums are gone. So Lewicki listened. We wrote the letter, and he submitted it, and they said, yep, for the supporter section, they need their tribal drums in there, and you can't have it with an exposed weather condition. Otherwise, the drums are ruined. So the roof is being built because the drums have to be there. Isn't that what they told us, Frank?
Yeah, that's what they told us.
Yeah.
So if considering when the new stadium comes in, like what part of the stadium would you guys want to be sitting in?
Behind the visitor's bench.
There you go.
Well, then you guys aren't going to have roof coverage, and that's the problem.
I'm bringing a tent. I'm bringing a tent, and the
there
damn people behind me.
So we'll work something out.
Hey, remember, John, remember the old days? You guys are probably too young for this, and probably John's too young for this. Remember the hats they used to have that were like umbrellas?
Wow.
Anybody remember those? It was like a hat you put on, it was an umbrella?
You can still get them if you go in L.A. on the boardwalk. You can still find them. They use the shades now.
Look, at the end of the day, what's got to happen is there's got to be a football stadium in this town that's friendly to football, cozy enough that the fans feel like they're at a football game, and feel like they're at a football game, you know, in an appropriately sized stadium.
Dude,
you know,
if you look at the layout, it's exactly identical to Ottawa's layout of the seats.
That's what I'm telling you.
Whoa.
That's what I'm telling you.
Okay, so for anyone, like any Argo fans listening, if you want to get an idea what your field, like what your sight lines are going to be like, just go to the Red Blacks website, go to their stadium simulator, and you would know exactly what it would be like.
Let me explain something about Ontario. The Ontario government approved funding for two stadiums, Ottawa and Hamilton, for those designs. They're going to approve the same one in BMO, and they're going to tweak it. MLSC it's like I told you, this is not the final model. So don't look at it and don't start thinking, this is what you're getting, this is what you're getting. This is not what we're getting. This is just a political model. And it's going to, MLSC doesn't really need the money like they needed in Hamilton, and they needed it for the Pan Am stuff, and they got the funding for it, and in Ottawa where they give them
a lot
of money.
Yeah, John's right. You're right, John, because when it comes to MLSC, they don't need the money. They just get it.
Damn right. And they pay it back. They say, hey, government, help us so you look like you're good on this with us. And then they're giving a sweet deal to the government. They're saying, just fork out $100 million. You're guaranteed we're giving it back to you. But let us do anything we want to it. You know, let us do what we want with it, and we'll pay you all the money back. Government
I
says,
want the
sure.
bowl. I want the bowl so that November, when the Grey Cup's being disputed in late November, just before December, and we're in the stands, John, rooting on the Argos against Edmonton, you know, we'll have something to really cheer about, you know, being underneath the stadium roof.
I'm all good with it, Frank. I think MLSC has a bigger picture on all that property down there. I agree
as well. And are you saying, John, that they said, because when I read it, it sounded like you're right, that they were saying they were going to expand both ends. They couldn't
right.
do it all on one side. They have to do it. They have to kind of do it everywhere.
Right. Initially, it was supposed to be one end because that's the space. Because I thought if they go both ends, they're going to They're going to go into Lakeshore, the highway, okay, or that area where the Indy, you know, has a major curve and a little hill. So unless they get rid of that, I just don't see this being the final model. I don't.
Well,
know.
That's why I was thinking they were going to go with a horseshoe because of that.
Yeah, I don't think they do the horseshoe models anymore, Frank. That's like way back.
Yeah,
but you know, Frank, he's right though.
Because
that's the only way you can go.
Ultimately, they know that business-wise, it's not a good move, especially on the East Coast market. People want to pay for sideline seats and. The way they have it set up is perfect, man. People will enjoy the great views of the game. It's great. And they'll probably have, like, you know, like a patio or some type of end zone deck, like a party deck where people can sort of hang out, like what Hamilton
did. Sure,
there'll
be people sitting on the Gardner Expressway because it's raised. Hey, John?
Look, it's going to suck in November, okay? It's going to suck in October.
You know,
with freezing rain.
They didn't call They didn't call the stadium at Exhibition Stadium the mistake by the lake for no reason. they called it a mistake by the lake for a reason.
So what is the weather like in November in Toronto?
It's horrible.
So what are we looking at?
Well, what
is it?
Rain, or
what are you
talking about?
Vanessa, this is what it is. It's nice during the day. But, in the evening, and I'm guessing we're going to have, possibly evening games like they usually do in November. Maybe not because of the Sundays now they get available. But it sucks. It's like
time,
freezing
though.
Rain, and it's cold, And, it's
and the
just
wind.
That, and the wind. And by
and the
lake.
Seagull.
Oh.
And the seagull.
Oh.
I'm sure that every – can you imagine – and now they signed them. They signed Boomer, so now Boomer's going to kill a couple of seagulls a game.
I don't know.
Isn't it interesting how like all the Eastern teams have like sort of decided to go with the same sort of stadium models, and all the Western teams pretty much going in their own like a different direction, with like everyone in the West is going 33,000 or more bowl shaped stadiums, and the East it's 25,000 or less with two grandstands.
Where the real estate is better then, don't you? Because the space is not available. The East, they got to go smaller. They can't expand. And that's the bottom line. In the East, you're talking about major cities that have populations. In the West, you got bigger space. It's the prairies. It's the, a lot of room. Real estate is a different market out there. So,
and it's colder. And it's colder. You need something to break the wind.
Well, it's at the same time, it's just the places are willing to spend. Like, Saskatchewan's putting, 290, Winnipeg put 190, and they, their stadiums reflect how much the team matters to the city, right?
Yeah,
I
was going to ask Kelly, what do you think of what, you guys are getting? Are you liking the look?
Really? You have to ask that? It's the Taj Mahal of stadiums.
It really is, a sight to behold, the rendering anyways, and the plaza that's included with it is quite impressive. What I was going to say about the real estate is it's going on the, south
Everest.
East
it's on
corner
Everest Place.
of Regina Exhibition Park, which is now known as Everest Place. Now, it's going right by a set of tracks, which is always good for football atmosphere.
Why?
The CFL has a connection to the Canadian National Railway, and it's a long-standing. Since the beginning, the dawn of the CFL, the rail basically signified where the teams were.
Nice.
Getting back to that, just check it out. Type in Regina Revitalization Initiative into Google and type in maybe PDF behind that, and you'll find the document on the rendering and the plan. Yeah, it's also an intelligent design. Its roof system is essentially going to make it warmer in winter and colder.
That looks cool. Yeah,
in summer.
Really nice. Yeah,
it's unbelievable, guys, and we're really excited. And there's the stadium detractors here and everything. They didn't play it coy like Frank is suggesting. MLSE is doing with the City of Toronto deal. they basically announced, listen, this is God's country, and we play football here. And this is our homage to that. And, it's on record that Jim Hopson said, we want the best stadium between Vancouver and Toronto. And that was their goal from day one.
And I think they're going to get something better than both combined.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to have a party deck. I'm with them already.
Yep.
What's with the spider web design?
That's part of the intelligent design. Apparently, it's to do with climate control and nature and the way the sun is, like the stadium is going on an angle where the sun, basically meets a lot of game times perfectly, and there isn't going to be any shading factor, and
to speak
of. They're
even
talking about having heated seats. So, mm-hmm. I mean, imagine that. I mean, they're going all out. I mean, when they're done building that, that's going to make Winnipeg Stadium look like a joke once they're done.
Yeah, but not because Winnipeg Stadium's a joke.
No, I'm just saying in comparison. I mean, they're building an NFL-caliber stadium with the CFL game in mind, whereas everyone in the East is basically building Division III college football stadiums that just happen to be able to hold the CFL game. That's the difference in the mindset of what we're really comparing.
And John is right. It's a possibility because we have the land.
And you have the support. Like, people care. That's what it comes down to. I mean, we don't want to go down that road, but, you know, it's really what it is. I mean, look at Winnipeg. Like,
and so it has a roof.
I mean, it's because the people love the team in Winnipeg. Like, I don't know if you guys ever been there, but, you know, I know the Jets get a lot of support, but whenever the Bombers win, it's just like you can feel the whole city just, like, lifted up there. Like, the whole, all the emotions in the city just go, everyone's in a good mood.
Sure.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So they built the stadium to just reflect how much they care.
Kelly?
Yes, Frank?
Yeah. What are they tearing down? Is that the old stadium?
Well, right,
what is that they're tearing down? I mean, it looks like a warehouse. I'm making fun. I'm going to see they tearing down the old stadium.
What we call it here is old exhibition stadium, and it's not the second exhibition stadium. It's the first exhibition stadium, which was actually partially rebuilt after a fire about 10 years ago, but finally had one last fire that took her down partially again, and they decided not to rebuild that time because they knew that they were possibly going to be putting a stadium there. So, yeah,
so
there's a collection of buildings on Evraz Place. There's the hockey rink, which is the Brandt Center, and then there's the Cooperators Center, which features about 9 NHL-sized ice surfaces.
Wow.
Yeah, we've got a huge hockey center here. It's basically
when we consider where you were, you know, Taylor Field, pun intended, by the way, are you ready? Because you guys got to brace yourselves because I got a good one here. It's coming in. So, in other words, you're going from Taylor Field to Tailored Field.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice.
Yeah, and guys, it's 2 blocks away from Taylor Field, so there you go.
It looks beautiful. I got to tell you, I envy. Bruce wanted me to tell you guys his phone died, so he just wanted to say to everybody have a great weekend. And he changed his mind. He said, yeah, Hamilton's going to finish third.
Good
night, Bruce.
Good night, Bruce. He didn't say that. He wanted to wish everybody a happy weekend.
Kelly, do you remember the Riders teams from 2009 and 2010?
Oh yeah.
Those teams were built by Eric Tillman, right?
Yeah, for sure. They were his teams.
Okay.
Too.
Do you remember the one aspect of that team that stood out so much? And I'm sure, as a Rider fan, it was a huge thing with the fans.
Not really. I don't know what you're getting at.
I'm talking about the Canadian Air Force. You remember that whole theme?
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Rob Baggs.
You remember what was unique about that squad? It was all...
What's that?
Their entire receiving corps was all white guys. Mostly Canadian, but the main preference was they were all white. You remember that?
That's what I'm talking about? That's for sure.
Right. So look what happened in Hamilton. Now that Eric Tillman is sort of working with Ken Austin behind the scenes, look at their starting receiving corps. It's Andy Fantuz, Kerry Koch, Greg Ellingson, Luke Tasker, Sam Giguere, all white guys, right? You have a quarterback who, just like what you guys have with Kerry Joseph and Darian Durant, it's a mobile quarterback who likes to scramble a lot. And if you look at it, it's just Eric Tillman 2.0. He's doing it. He's repeating everything he did in 2009. He just built the exact same team. And that's why I was hoping Bruce is on the line, because – though that team was like the golden era for the Riders. I think as a fan, you would have that probably had to be one of your favorite teams, like that whole stretch under Ken Miller.
Yeah.
So I think for the Ticat fans, they're about to experience the same. And there's nothing better than having a team that will, you know, the fans can connect with, and you can get enough great white players on your team, that's the better.
you know, and they just put it together. I'm serious. I know it's something interesting, but you'll
it's
see.
Funny.
The Ticat fans are going to love it. They're gonna come up with all these nicknames, and Bruce is going to be all excited, and he's going to be like, whoa, what's going on? And he sees all these white guys running around, and he's going to be like, whoa. But
are you going to tell me they're going to start running around? Are they going to start – Hamilton fans going to start running around? White men can jump? Like, is that what we're coming to?
I think they will once they see. I mean, but I just, to me, I remembered how popular that was back when I first started watching the CFL, the whole Canadian Air Force thing with the Riders and how much it was a hit with the fans. And I think Hamilton's about to experience that again. And Bruce is lucky, man. This is just, the Ticats are walking into a golden age. I mean, they're going to be, the next 5 years, it's going to be the greatest years the Ticat fans have ever seen.
Yeah,
I mean,
second best to what the Argos are going to go through.
Well, you know, the Argos, you guys are still, 2016 is when the stadium will be ready? Something like that?
17,
but
probably.
The excitement is going to start to build and generate. And, you know, and I happen to think that Toronto's going to give whatever team wants to go for first a hard time.
I hope Toronto opens with that building with the Grey Cup, because every time they're hosting a Grey Cup, the Riders are there hoisting it.
Hey, Mike. How's it going, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, Frank?
Hey, Mike.
We're just talking about Toronto because that's where the world begins and ends.
Oh, that's what's up. I missed so far?
Well, we're taking advantage of the fact that Christopher's not going to be on, so we're talking about Toronto.
Oh, good deal.
Actually, what it is we started talking about have opened a public display renditions of what the new stadium will look like in Toronto that will accommodate the football team.
Oh, okay.
Which John and I maintain is a precursor to the team being sold. Once, you know, the city buys into the fact that there's going to be a football stadium as part of BMO, it'll be the green light for MLSC to buy the team, or at least announce the fact that they bought the team.
Oh, okay. That's what's up.
And
that's
now we're debating the quality of the stadiums. For those of you that have just joined us, let's do that. I can do that on radio. They do it all the time. For those of you that just joined us here on Candid Frank Live, we've been talking about the new stadium at BMO Field and how it'll be renovated to accommodate a football team. Wednesday, renditions were shown to the fans, open to the public, showing the kind of stadium that they're looking at right now, an option that they have, so far the option up front. And everybody's aware of it now, and now what we're waiting for is for approval from the city to kick the funds in, which as John says, will be returned in some capacity to the city. And we're looking forward to the Argos having a football stadium to play in with a schedule that will be accommodated by the freedom of having their own stadium.
Now, Frank, BMO Field, I think somebody posted a picture of BMO Field earlier this week, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't it a soccer field?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yep.
Okay, I see the picture of that. So, and the way the field looks for a soccer field, like the fans are all around it, man. It's like right up on it.
Yep.
Right.
So what they're going to do, they're going to renovate it for football and so
yeah,
it can be closer
to the
game.
Field,
basically,
the
Mike, what it's going to look
shorter,
like is it's going to look like the Red Black Stadium. You seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to look exactly like the Red Black Stadium. It's not that fancy. It's just going to be, you know, two grandstands. It's like your typical Division II, Division III college football stadium. It's like, you know.
Listen to the Downer Manasseh.
I was expecting them to do it big.
That's Manasseh. Oh, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Mike? How you been, man?
Oh, man, chilling, dude. How you been, man?
Man, doing good, man. Just can't wait for the season to start. We still got, what, four months, 3 months?
How many months we got left?
Oh, man, travel
April,
together.
April, May, and June arrives. We only got 2 months before the guys start strapping on the pads for, you know, business sake.
When's the first preseason game? Is what, last week of June, or when does the preseason kick off?
June 9th,
oh,
I think, is the first
yeah.
preseason oh, game. June 9th,
oh,
or Winnipeg.
Wow.
Yeah.
Season starts last week of June.
Oh, great. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, no, but I was saying just before you called in, Mike, we was talking about the Hamilton Tiger Cats receiving corps and how it's all white guys now, with the exception of Bakari Grant. You notice that?
Yeah, man.
And the reason I was saying that is because Eric Tillman, that's what he did in Saskatchewan in 2009 and 2010, because he knows that's going to be a fan hit. And I'm telling you, man, you're going to see by the end of next year, everyone's going to be talking about, oh, there's the flying Canadian Air Force, and look at all those white guys flying around. I'm telling you, it's going to be huge, man. By the end of the year, we're going to hear Bruce.
Everybody understands that Manasseh is speaking on his own behalf, and Manasseh is not a fair skin. Manasseh is not a fair skin, so this isn't a white supremacist meeting.
But it's just keeping it real, man. Come on, everybody knows you gotta. If you can get talented white players in any North American, this is true even in the NBA. That's why the NBA has been desperate for a talented American white player. That's why Kevin Love is like the new great hope. But if you can get that, that is a major money maker. That's just a fact.
At the end of the day.
Historically,
that's been going on since Rocky Marciano. You know, it'll always be like that, I guess, for some people. But right now, as far as I'm concerned, Hamilton is building a team, and yeah, if they happen to build a team with Canadians as receivers, you know, it's all about the ratio, right? It's not so much about color; it's about ratio.
Yeah, it's about the ratio, and the Canadians...
But they're not Canadian, though. That's the thing. You got to remember that. Kerry Koch and Greg Ellingson, they're Americans. That's the thing. Everyone assumes these guys are white because they're white, they got to be Canadian. You know, like, that's what happened in Saskatchewan. They called them the Canadian Air Force, but four out of the six guys were Americans, but they just were white guys, and they assumed they were Canadian. That's my point. So it's just, you know.
So we're not worried about losing Andre Drury to Hamilton then?
You got to be worried about him staying healthy the whole year. That's what you'd be worried about. That's too worried about your whole team. I mean, Kacker, Drury, Owens, Ray. You got like the most injury-prone squad now.
If Drury go down and if Kacker get hurt, what y'all going to do, man?
Right.
Did they re-sign Darius Norwood?
I don't think so.
But they re-signed Anthony Woodson as the other.
Yes.
So I think he's now the backup running back.
And they brought in a couple of Canadians.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Toronto's a team that if they stay healthy, they're gonna be right there with Hamilton down to the wire as far as the number one seed. But if that injury bug bites, it's going to bite hard. And I think they could easily miss the playoffs if they lose enough guys. You know, that's...
Okay, I've got a question, y'all. Did y'all touch on Kevin Glenn yet?
No, we waited for you to come because I knew you were going to talk about it.
Thank you very much, Frank. Thank you very much. I just woke up, man, because I had a late night shift last night and got in, man, so I can pick up my student. And we just laying here sleeping right now, man, because I got a midnight run tonight after the show on my way to Massachusetts.
That's cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And by the way, guys, I don't know if any of y'all read on Facebook. This is just real quick. I'm going to be in the National Trucking News. Article comes out next month. The company selected me because they show me appreciation for the job that I do and the hard work that I do since I've been over here. So I've been in National Trucking News. Article comes out next month. It's going to be United States.
Are you going to give the show a plug?
Yeah. Congrats, Mike.
Thank you, man. Thank you. What you say, Frank?
Are you going to give the show a plug?
Am I going to do who?
He's trying to get a plug for the show.
Oh, believe me, I can plug the show in now. Don't think I plug it in. I did my interview yesterday.
I am kidding.
No, seriously,
so let's,
Frank.
Let's talk about. Yeah, good. Let's talk about Kevin Glenn, and the fact that I can't believe how many people feel sorry for him. I mean, I feel sorry for him because of circumstances, not because he's been given the shaft or anything. I've made my point clear in the group, and I'll repeat it for the people that are listening. Kevin Glenn, unfortunately, had the misfortune being made available by Calgary was the most the best chip out there for Ottawa to pick up. They picked him up, and then all of a sudden, Wolbetide doesn't Burris spring free. And now they got an asset as a pretty good quarterback, and now they have two pretty good quarterbacks, and neither of them have to be traded for, and one of them can be traded. I feel sorry for Glenn that, you know, circumstances aren't working towards, you know, his greater good, but I don't think Ottawa can be blamed for what they've done. Manasseh, how do you read this situation?
No, I think even though he may be upset that they are not willing to release him or haven't traded him yet, if he actually sits back and look at it, you can see the wisdom in how this could all play out to his benefit at the end of the day, which is the Red Blacks are basically going to hold on to him until a team needs a quarterback, whether it be through injury or something happens, say, in training camp or, you know, early in the season. And when a team gets desperate and they need to get a guy, they're going to come, offer a first-round, second-round draft pick. The team will cash in, and Glenn will get what he wants, which is an opportunity to start right away for a team. So I think even though he may be impatient, I think if he shows some patience in the situation, it could all work out at the end of the day, and both parties get what they want.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, go ahead, Kelly. Continue. Is that the sum and total of your addition to the...
Well, basically, I agree for so many reasons. I just think that you can count certain teams out for, you know, Tammen talked today about it a little bit, and just listening to what he said, you can count certain teams out just based on why would he really want to go to a team, or why would they want to trade him to a team where there was a starter in place. So I think you're looking at BC, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Hamilton, Montreal, and those are the teams that he could go to. But Tammen also
what if
said,
a, what if
you know,
a Ray,
never,
what if a Ray gets hurt? What if a Ray gets hurt?
Mm-hmm. But, I mean...
I think Trevor Harris is better than Kevin Glenn.
Oh, well, I'm not going to argue that point at all.
That's the thing, is you might have to lose.
I think Trevor Harris was better than Kolaros. I think Trevor Harris was better than Kolaros.
Oh, stop, Frank. Come on, man.
I'm serious. I'm serious.
Too far.
A better quarterback for the situation built in Toronto. He's more of a Ricky Ray than Kolaros was.
Hey, listen, guys. Frank is right. You guys haven't seen Harris. If you guys forgot, Harris was like the up-and-coming shining star who we were all waiting for the Argos to use. I think for the last three games of the previous year, he was nailing it. He came in for two quarters, and completion record was like 80% or something. He was good. He was good. So
yeah.
Frank's right for the situation, for the backup, for the nurturing as a young guy. Who's better than the Ricky Ray scenario that they got going on? And whoever thinks that Harris doesn't have something, I'm not about. What was your comparison, Frank? The comparison to who? To Pierce?
Kolaros.
No, Kolaros.
I said initially that Trevor
Harris
is better than Kevin Glenn. And then Frank,
said,
for whatever reason, decided to say he's better than Kolaros. And let's be honest, Frank, he's just saying that because he went to Hamilton.
No,
are you kidding?
Oh,
Frank's supports Hamilton. That's the last thing he would be doing.
Okay.
He's calling
so let's just call it like it is. If Trevor Harris was better than Kolaros, who would have known better than Scott Milanovich, right, at the end of the day?
I was just about to say that, and I haven't seen much of Trevor Harris to even say he's better than Kevin Glenn, man. Kevin Glenn got longevity in the league, man.
John is right. I saw him in the preseason, too. He looked, when I saw him at first, I thought he was the next guy. I didn't see enough of Kolaros to think of anything of him. But
me neither.
John's on the point. Harris is legit. It's just that he's older. He's like 28, I think 28, 29. And that's the only reason why Kolaros was more intriguing, because he was only 24. So
Kolaros.
Well, that's the reason why he got the ball. They figured, let's give Kolaros the ball here. If he doesn't work out right away, we got Harris as the one that we know comes in pretty good.
Right.
So, but Kolaros took off with it. So they thought, let's just keep him in there. Let's keep him in there until he screws up. And he wasn't screwing up. I mean, he wasn't knocking out of the ballpark right off the bat, but he was winning those road game guys. I mean, that was I'm still shocked over that.
So what? Is Harris the second string right now? Third string? What is he?
Well, they got
Gale's in another.
Gale's another Caleros. He's another Caleros in the making. He could jump ahead of Harris as well. But not because of anything other than...
If he's that good, why he's third string?
Well, listen, Mike, hey guys, did you guys not pay attention to the way last season played out and what was said last season? You know, a lot of players were on teams because they were hoping. There were actually players on teams that the teams that are existing were playing and having out there in the hope that Ottawa would pick them off, because everybody knew they were going to lose somebody. I've maintained that Caleros was a guy that they felt looks good to begin with. But I happen to think that on the longer term, I think Trevor Harris is a better quarterback. And when you build a system with Ray in mind, I think Harris fits into that role better than Caleros.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. I mean, they got several good QBs. I mean, you can go down, you know, Quinton Portis, you can Mitchell Gale. They have a whole stable of nice young QBs. That's why I don't think Kevin Glenn has that many options. I mean, you look at Winnipeg, they just brought in Brian Brohm.
That's why
I think he could compete with Kevin Glenn.
If Ray gets injured, then they need a veteran in the mix. You know, they need a veteran in the mix.
Glenn's a little pricey right now.
Right. I mean, where is Glenn going to go, honestly? Edmonton's the only spot, because Kerry Joseph retired, where I could see maybe they might need him, because I know Crompton's a little unproven. But what other spot do you see that a team would actually be willing to bring him in?
BC Lions, if Lule gets hurt. If Lule gets hurt, when
Lule probably won't even start the season.
Oh,
well, shoot.
What?
He's going to start the season. But if Lule gets hurt, man.
You guys sure that Lule can start the season? Are you sure that Lule can start the season today?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe not
today, but I think he'll be ready in July. I mean, that's a couple months from now.
He doesn't have an injury issue.
I think he has shoulder surgery.
Oh, yeah.
That one, I think he'll be fine by the time the season starts.
No guarantee, Manasseh.
Yeah, that's what the report is. But, of course,
I'll just say it like it is. 60% of Travis Lule is still better than 100% Kevin Glenn. I don't care what you guys say. I mean, that's just a fact.
Listen, guys. Wow. In Winnipeg, you got Drew Willey pretty much sitting on an island in Winnipeg right now, opening up against the Bombers on the 26th of June at home. All that pressure, Drew Willey. I mean, you might see calls for a guy a couple weeks in Winnipeg. And I mean, don't tell me they didn't love Kevin Glenn. I mean,
don't go there, Kelly. It's not happening. I'm telling you, for all you Bomber detractors, the Bombers are taking over the West next year. You just watch and see. I'm telling you.
And you know what?
Drew Willey he's going to do what Travis Lule did in 2011, which was come out, take the league by storm, win MOP, and lead his team to a Grey Cup. You guys think it's crazy? No one before 2011 would have thought Travis Lule was going to do what he did at that time. No one saw that coming.
Did Winnipeg load up on all this talent all of a sudden on defense and offense that I wasn't aware of?
Apparently you guys don't. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to repeat it one more time. Defensively, they've always had talent. They brought in Jason Vega. They re-signed Brian Turner. They lost Mwamba. That was a blow, but they still have a good defense, and Gary Echeverry is one of the best CFL defensive minds in the history of the league. And you'll see. The first game of the season, they're playing the Argos at home, right? Thursday night or to kick off the season?
Actually, even the preseason,
I hope, John,
playing
you go
them.
To the, no, but I mean the regular season, the first game is Argos at Winnipeg.
Thursday night. I'm actually,
and they have a preseason game against them, too.
I'm planning on going to the very first game this year of the CFL, and that's going to be June 9th in Winnipeg for the preseason game.
But you're not going to the regular season opener?
You know what? Regular season, all the season ticket holders have all. If I get in, I'm gonna have the nosebleed. That's still not out of the question. But right now, the ninth is looking like more fun than you know. I want to check the experience of the stadium out. So you're not gonna get that when it's season opener. It's just too much to get around. I want to get the concession.
I just wanted you to be there in person to witness the beatdown that the Bombers are gonna put on the Argos.
Oh!
But you know what? You know what?
Wow.
No, I'm gonna tell
you're
you.
Gonna see at the end of the game, everybody's gonna be like, "Wow, the Bombers have significantly improved, and they made the Argos offense look so bad." It's gonna, Ricky Ray is gonna get hassled. I'm telling you, they have no idea what's coming with Gary Echeverria's defense. The press
I would not
gonna
say.
Send,
I'm gonna
and
tell
the
you
Argos
stuff,
defense still stinks, and Drew Willey's gonna tear you, light you guys up. I can't wait. Let's just
hey,
get
I'm
the season started now.
I'm gonna tell you something. I say I don't know if you've been listening to the show the last couple of weeks, but I've been saying the same thing about Drew Willey, man. You know he don't have no pressure coming up on him to be a starter. I mean it's not like it's his first go around being a starter in any league. The guy has an arm. The guy's a proven winner down here in the States. So I mean, come on, man. He's just waiting for his chance. And I agree with you with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, man. They're gonna make some noise.
There you go. Thank you.
Because
yeah, I mean,
it's only
gonna
be heard out
agree.
West. It'll be a lot of noise, but it'll only be heard out west.
Well, like I said, you guys are going to see it the first game, and I know all of you guys are going to watch that game Thursday night, and you're going to firsthand witness the domination that the Argos
but
are
even
about to
But even if Winnipeg beats every team in the East, it's not going
to
impact on the East.
Okay, either way, you know, I mean, the point is your team's going to get humiliated in the first game of the season. That's all that matters, Frank.
If you think about the receiving corps that they got now, Nick Moore, Mike Sims, Walker, Clarence Denmark, I mean, come on, on paper, that looks like one of the best receiving corps in the league.
I'm telling you, anybody that says the Bombers don't have talent is somebody that just otherwise doesn't know the team and didn't watch what happened last year. It was all quarterback and O-line. That was it.
Yep.
Now they got a
yep.
QB. They brought in a couple linemen. Their offense and defense is loaded with talent. All they need is the right coaches, and I think they got that. That's it, man. Sky's the limit. And the CFL, look, the 2010 to 2011, Bombers went 4-14. The very next year, they were 11-7, and first place went to the Grey Cup. So
mm-hmm.
the precedent has already been set recently, so it's not out of the question for that to happen. And the Argos, once again, like I say again, and I'll never keep repeating it, their defense, until they fix their defense, they're just going to be this up-and-down team all year. And John and Frank, you guys are going to be pulling out your hair because they're going to go 3 weeks of looking great. Then it's going to be 3 weeks of what's going on, and then it's going to be a week or two of them winning again, and then they're going to drop again. And, you know, if you don't have a defense, that's what's going to happen to a team.
I don't understand how you can be so sure, you know, in the beginning of March about something like that. I'll repeat what I said before. As good as people look before the season starts, I'll wait
mm-hmm.
till the football actually gets kicked. And then I'll tell you how good a team is then. You can tell me as much as you want how good they're going to be. And I appreciate your prediction and your prognostication. But what the reality is, they got to play the game on the field. And I'll say this one more time. The Argos are letting the rest of the league do their thing. Yep, 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 yep. And then they'll just come in with the big boys, and then they'll come out with the guns
uh-huh.
that the league hasn't seen in a while, and they'll start shooting too. That's all.
Now,
it's
Frank,
no big deal.
Frank sees, the season is coming, man. It's already heating
up.
I'm telling you, I can't wait.
Oh, no, it definitely is.
Manasseh, don't worry about the defense. Khalif is going to be the heart and soul, and they're going to run off of his energy. I'm not worried about it. I think the coaching staff is set to go. Scott's going to let the defense do their thing, and I truly believe that Khalif Mitchell is the leader of this defense, man. You might laugh, but if you know this guy and you know his heart, and he's a warrior, and the guy hates to lose. Like, I mean, they all do. But he just hates to lose. And Pinball loves him. Pinball loves him. Pinball thinks that this guy is the key to the defense as far as being the captain and the leader. They're going to find the players. I'm worried about the CBA talks getting underway right now. And I heard that there's another extra combine, CFL combine being put together. Because there's so much interest out there for the tryouts. So there's a lot of good news around the corner. But, again, CBA,
is what I'm worried about, guys. I don't want to get off the Argos too much. I think we talked about enough about them. Unless you want to keep talking about the Argos, Frank, I'm not sure. But did you guys hear about the CBA talks getting underway? And the players said that it's going to get pretty heated because there's a lot of money on the table. Yeah.
If it get pretty heated, I just don't want them to strike the season, man. Because you know, it hurt the CFL if the CFL strike, man. Seriously.
Yeah.
It hurt the CFL big time.
The issues at hand, if you look at it, it's all dependent on people's perspective, right? The union wants the minimum salary to go from 45 to 60K, right? But the problem is, for most of veteran players, that doesn't really impact their salaries. That's just for basically new guys. So the majority of the union, it wouldn't actually be to their benefit. And then the other part is, in 2010, the last CBA, the players basically backed off of, taking any portion of the league revenue. And anyone who followed the NFL and the hockey lockouts, that had to do with that. Players taking a percentage of the overall league revenue. And so now that that's up, that's what the players are going to want this time, because they're going to say, back in 2010, we let it go because you guys were still needed more time. But now that you got the deal, you got to pony it up. And the one thing they're saying in response that the owners are trying to say is to back off that, but then raise the salary cap up like 500K for the next, 5 years or so, and eventually let it get to maybe about $6.5 million in like 5 years. So that's the latest I've heard. Most of that's from Dave Naylor, but from what I can hear, it looks like they're probably not going to go to a strike. It should be some settled. They're hoping by late April, early May. That's what I'm hearing.
And I hope they don't, man, because if you look at it, man, really, I can see the guys wanting more money. But the CFL teams, or some of the teams, top teams like Saskatchewan and BC, they just imagine what their revenue is like at the end of the season, man. A lot of these owners are making a lot of money with these teams, you know, And I'm not saying you want to pay your players million-dollar contracts, but, you know, you got some hard workers out there that deserve a little pay raise, I should say.
No, like, but you're right. I have to say that the one thing that I don't think people understand, and if you get to know some of these players a little bit, where they need to get paid is to make this thing a year-round job for them. And the way that they can do that through the CBAs is you have these incentives where for appearances, for, you know, just get-togethers and meetings or signings or anything like that for promotional purposes. If they put in clauses that these guys get paid by promoting the team throughout the year for events and stuff, they get a certain amount of money, because there is, if you are, because there's a time limit of how much they're allowed to practice, you know, in a day, and that's what they're paid for, and there's a certain amount of time that they're supposed to be used for promotional purposes, and then if there's extra promotional purposes where it's in their contract where they get paid like $800 to show up to something or, you know, whatever. It's not big money, but I think that's where the money should come in more for them. If these guys come on their own time off the field and show up at these places and stuff, I think you should pay them for that so they can make this a yearly thing rather than have to stress themselves out, you know, in the off season. These guys want to make this thing something that they focus on all year round. I think, and I don't think you guys realize, Frank always says it, this is a blue-collar league, and they still work two jobs, most of them, you know?
Yeah.
So
yep.
I think maybe they don't have to increase the salary limits that high. It's going to go up. We've all heard the number. It's going to go up by $500,000, I think, and it's going to be good for the league. And I think they should just pay them more for the stuff off the field, because if Pottinger and Joel Pell and Bradwell, guys like that, local boys who go to all these local things, got really good money. You know, they're in the community. They don't want to get paid. They do for their fans, and because they love it, and they're good people. But I think the league should recognize that and give them money for those kind of things. I think.
But you know, the league will really recognize. The league will really recognize the fact that you have all these new owners in the last 3 years that all put down significant money. You look at the fact that in Calgary, the Flames ownership group, they paid $17 million for the Stamps, and then they put in $15 million in renovations to the stadium. That's not counting other places like in Ottawa. You know, obviously MLSC is coming in. These guys are all big time owners that are playing serious. You know, they're not coming in because we just wanted a CFL team. They came in because of the new TV deal, and they're gonna hold fast and they're not gonna let the players do anything to that additional $2 million in revenue. That's the whole reason all these new owners
The point is that you're getting real money come to the game now in the CFL. You're getting serious businessmen. You're getting real businessmen. Yeah, right. And you're right, man. I say that you got real businessmen here who understand that how to make money and how to lose money, right? Whereas, you know, there was a time when the CFL brought in guys who were basically a word we use here is shysters. You know, and right. Now you got a guy like Kohan who can smell a shyster a mile away, and he won't associate himself with them. And he associates with good people. And I don't mean good people like, you know, oh, they're so kind to everyone. I mean people that are good for making the business better. And that's what it's about, making the business better. And you're not going to be able – and these guys, they're going to think that what's most important is the business. Well, I fall on John's side. I agree with what Manasseh is saying, but I fall on John's side that they're going to have to show appreciation to these players. And if they do, what's going to happen is the players that are on the outside thinking and realizing that there's a league here, the more attractive it is to play here, the more players that are going to want to come here, the better the game's going to be. And it doesn't matter how you slice it, guys. The only difference between the NFL and the CFL is the quality of the talent. Now, I'll get people kick me in the butt for saying that, but it's a fact. The talent in the NFL is far superior.
Yes.
The game is much better here in Canada. But if we can raise the level of the talent that play here, like a guy like Sheets doesn't have to leave, you feel what I'm saying? Like, you know, and that's what these owners are going to want. They're going to want to grow the game, but they're going to have to be smart enough to realize that you're going to also have to pay these players enough that other players are going to want to kick them off their position that much harder, you know? You know, already
yep,
the only...
exactly why the players don't have the leverage is, let's say the players end up striking. Let's say they're not happy with the terms and they decide to walk away from the table. If you're the owners, you could laugh at that and say, go ahead, what does it matter? We can replace every single one of you guys with a whole new guy that's just waiting in the wings.
But that's on one side of the...
It'll
that's
make
on one
no
side
difference.
Of the equation,
next
though.
Year.
Manasseh, that's on one side of the equation. Don't forget, you got your Canadian content.
Yeah, but that's only so much. I mean, at the end of the day, the CFL doesn't have any guys that have real star power to the point where you can say, oh, if you lose me, it's going to hurt your brand. There's no player that can say that to any team in the CFL.
There's a guy in Calgary that I think you could say that about.
What, John Cornish?
Sure.
Oh, come on, Frank. They can get another guy... bring him in, and in a year or two, he
another,
will tell
another
you will never
Canadian
remember
running back, another Canadian that plays a star position like that? No, I don't think so, Manasseh. Those guys are few and far between.
Okay.
You know,
so if that's going to stand between you and having a profitable business, what are you going to do? What do you think they're going to choose?
But Manasseh, that's what I'm saying. You want a profitable business. You gotta allow room for guys like Cornish. You have to accommodate guys like Cornish. Specifically,
but you know
because
what?
He's a good
that popular, like, come on, like.
Okay,
I mean,
let me try it.
Really
let me try it a different way. You're applying an American mentality in the game of football, based on the American talent that's in the CFL. Let me reassure you on something. Every American player that plays in the CFL probably can be replaced by at least 100 and 150 other guys, at least. When it comes to the Canadian players. Remember, they divided too. The teams are half Canadian, half American for all intents and purposes. You can't replace that half of the team as easily. There aren't 150 Canadians in line that could. There aren't 150 running backs in Canada that could do what Cornish does. But there are 150 guys that can do what Sheets can do in the U.S.
You know what?
I'm not saying it in the sense that these guys are replaceable. I'm saying when the NFL strike was going down. And you have Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady trying to get to the forefront and basically trying to use their names and their brand as a leverage against the owners. The NFL owners laughed in their face and said, you go right ahead and do
that.
We don't
care. But that was another time. That was when
that was
organizations,
two years ago,
leagues,
Frank.
Yeah, but that was a time when they were stupid. And they're smarter now. They understand a little better now. I mean, if you didn't learn anything from the referee strike, there, you know, that's exactly what happened with the referee strike. They could be replaced.
You know what the owner's response to the players were when we're talking about big name guys, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, we're talking about like household name brand guys that everyone knows, that fans love. The owner said to them, "Your names mean absolutely nothing. Our league and our teams is what's going to sell, and our fans are going to come ultimately because they support our league as the brand name, not you."
And what has happened? Okay,
and that applies.
I don't know. Are you paying attention? Are you paying attention to what happened after that strike? Were there $100 million contracts before the strike to players? Any players?
No. You missed the point, Frank. They lost. The players lost on every front in that strike. The owners took them to the cleaner.
They didn't lose in one very important front. Their contracts got way better. They got, you know, there were no $100 million contracts.
You
got
to get your facts straight. When it comes to the league revenue distribution, which is what the players wanted 50% of the league revenue. And initially they were at about 41. By the time the talks were done, the players got 35%. Right? So in every single part of everything that they were going to the table about, the owners, not only did they stop them, but they went ahead and took back everything that they initially had, the players had gained.
But you said it. But you said it yourself that what you're talking about, though, is an established league that is really pumping out. You know, it's more than the football player. You know, I mean, I'm surprised that Vegas doesn't chime in and say we want about 10-15% of what your league makes, because we're responsible for about 10-15-20% of how much you earn, because that's true too. But Vegas didn't get any extra money. It's, you know, the owners of the NFL, the owners of the NFL are in a much stronger position because it's more than just football. The NFL is not just about football. You can't refer to the NFL like you can to any other league, because there is no league like the NFL. There is no league like the NFL. There's nothing that reaches that deep into the American psyche than the NFL. Nothing. Nothing comes close. I was just going to say, the only reason baseball does, because it's longer and deeper into the, you know, into games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it lasts longer.
Right, and my point is, for as money goes, you know, if the CFL give these guys a raise, they can keep some of these stars from coming down south to play football. You know what I'm saying? A lot of guys will stay there and stay in the CFL and make a name for themselves. A lot of guys come for the money, so they don't have to have second jobs. So, you know, give them a little raise, but don't got to be out here working another 9 to 5 after they get off the football practice field, and pay these guys for what they're worth. I mean, you don't got to give $1 million contracts, but, you know, take care of your players, man. If you want to keep them, take care of them.
And what you're talking about, Mike, isn't it fair to say that what you're saying is the sheets doesn't go down, and instead of a sheets not, you know, and instead of a sheets going down, the sheet stays here, and another sheets comes up because of the money,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
You know, you raise the quality of the players that are in the league.
Because I'm gonna tell you, a lot of people think that the Riders are gonna be okay without Corey Sheets, man. They're going to miss Corey Sheets dramatically. Wait till the season starts, man. They're going to miss him. They're going to miss him bad. I don't care who you bring in there to try to replace him. You know, Corey Sheets added one-dimensional offense to that team, man. He adds something to that team that a lot of running backs don't add to their teams, man. They're going to miss Corey Sheets. If you paid the guy, he would have stayed. He would have stayed.
Exactly.
It's just all about that mighty dollar at the end of the day.
Oh, Manasseh had
stars,
to go.
Man.
Manasseh had to go back to work, I think. Okay, we still got John in the room. We still got Kelly. Kelly, you got anything to add on this conversation as far as the players' strike and money, and how important is it that the players get paid a little better or not?
Yeah, you know, what I was going to say is it's going to be tough to come up with $800, $900, maybe $1,000 for a rider to come out to, you know, a small school event in, say, Shaunavon, Saskatchewan, you know, like, so that's definitely, you know, something that I think about, but at the same time, I'm thinking about how the benefits, you know, that could have for the players, something like that may need to happen now, and if not now, then eventually. Yeah, what I wanted to say about Corey Sheets was we are going to miss him, and Mike's right, but any time I'm talking about a running back, I'm always thinking about that offensive line in front of him opening the holes, and these guys are intact, and they're going to be the most dominant offensive line in the CFL this year, so I don't see us having too many issues in the running game. We were talking about a little bit earlier on Facebook today. Definitely got a couple exciting prospects. So I'll just leave it at that, and you guys can go to Ryderville to check that out.
How easy in your mind would it be for the players to strike and the owners to ignore it as any kind of issue?
Well, I think the players hold a little bit of bargaining power, just that they did kind of back down during the last negotiation. And, I figure that, they've got a claim to something, and it's just a matter of the league finding a creative way to give them that something. And I think Manasseh may have touched on something that I don't mind the structure of too much. I mean, $500K a year for 5 years, you know, bring it up into the 6-point type area. You gotta pay these guys. I agree with all of you there.
But for the players to be replaced that are playing now, I maintain that to replace the Canadian players would be the problem. The replacement players, you know, in the NFL, as insufficiently talented as they were, I think they were, you know, the biggest problem is getting the teams together and getting new guys working. To replace all the Canadian players in the league, you just don't have the depth in Canadian players in Canada, or in football, I should say, that you do with the American mm-hmm. players.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That is true.
So that takes a lot of the leverage away from the owners.
There's a bunch of CIS and junior athletes that, you know, are jumping up and down right now in their homes saying, no, we could take those jobs, you know what I mean? But,
know how special they are. You know, just because when I say that the CFL Canadians are hard to replace, the same thing could be said for every different level. Because, you know, basically what we produce is enough for the CFL at a very high level. And, you know, with some despair to go to the NFL in such places, right? And that's what mm-hmm. we produce. It is what it is, you know. And it's just there isn't a glut of Canadian 23-year-old football players with the ability to unseat other players in the CFL. You know,
yeah,
there aren't that many.
Coming from a Regina perspective, I'm looking at, you know, 120 of those guys that you're talking about, because we have both a junior football team and a university team here. That's two rosters of about 55 guys rotating in and out. So, we have a pretty big surplus of guys around here, and, you know, as you can tell by how many we graduate to leagues.
But what's
well, we graduate a lot of guys to leagues, so.
But what is a big surplus to you?
Well, you know, I'll touch on, like, how many guys we've graduated to CFL or NFL. I mean, you look over the last 10 years, we've graduated over 50 guys to the CFL and the NFL. So, you know, like, let's say 5 years ago, these are probably guys that are likely still playing football at a high level, you know what I mean? That's 25 guys. So there you go. There's our 20 guys. I mean, if we could just recruit the guys that are from here alone.
Yeah, but now you've got another 8 teams. Where did the other 8 teams come from? Okay, Montreal could use the players that are in Quebec to compete for
Ottawa.
Canadian jobs.
I know Ottawa's got a lot of football talent in their area, and, you know, I know BC could field a pretty good crop of Canadians every year.
So am I
don't know about Alberta.
Am I underestimating the CFL talent abundance that's out there?
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying there's a step down. I mean, I think you are, but there's a step down, obviously. Like, I'll concede that there's obviously a step down.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something about the Canadian players right now, man. A lot of people say make the United States players more inferior because of the more talent. But what it is, man, the Canadian players and Canadian guys that's coming up in the world, it's in the training, man, in the coaching. And a lot of these guys is getting some of the best coaching in the world, and it's making more Canadian players be looked at now instead of a lot of these American players. You know, like the junior leagues that y'all have there, and they have the Canadian juniors going against the American juniors. I mean, once you start training a certain way, as other countries start training, it makes the player better. You know, regardless if you're Canadian or American, man, it's all in how you train. And right now, Frank, what they're doing, they're training as hard as the way the American players play, and they refining their skills is what I'm trying to say. Because you can get better.
Absolutely right.
All you got to do is just refine your skills, man. And Canadian players are refining their skills. So, you know, the talent pool is going to be equal the next year or two.
I'm really glad you touched on that, Mike, because everybody should go on YouTube and just type in, I think you could probably find it with Can-Am Bowl or Canadian-American Bowl. But anyways, guys, this is a tremendous example of what we're talking about. You can do your own scouting and see for yourself what are Canadian kids doing and what are they doing against American kids. And here is a wonderful example of exactly how our kids are doing. And, you know, they're coming up and you know, they're going to be contending for jobs down south. And, you know, good for them.
Because I'm going to tell you, and I go back to this quarterback, man, the old McMaster's quarterback. Man, do you know how many NFL teams are scouting that guy, man, saying that he could have been a first-round pick in the NFL? You know what I'm talking about, Kyle Quinlan. That guy, man, they said he was going to be a first-round, early second-round quarterback in the NFL draft. He tried out for the – he went to Philadelphia's camp. He went to a couple more camps. I think it was Arizona. And he went to a couple of camps, man, down here in the States. And they actually wanted him to play in the Senior Bowl. They wanted him to play in the Senior Bowl.
Well, he graduated, right, Mike?
Yeah, he graduated, and then he signed with Montreal.
He retired.
And then he retired before he played.
Okay.
He's back to coaching.
Yeah, I believe if he would have was in a better or got drafted from another team or signed with another CFL team, he'd have still been in the CFL right now. All that had
he's
to
Canadian,
do with
Canadian. That's
Del
the
Vio
problem. He's Canadian. That's the problem.
Now, you know what? And they missed out on a good Canadian quarterback. Really, really.
Yep.
So.
Battery's about to die. I'm going to have to give it a night to all of you.
Well, one last comment, John. Do you think that we have enough Canadian players to for the league to let the players strike and replace them? Do we have the replacement Canadian players?
No.
Yeah, I agree with you, John.
No.
Nope, not now. Not now you don't.
And they're not going to strike. They're not going to strike. There's not even a chance. And you know what? If they striked, it would be probably better, so that way the stadiums would open up on time. Anyway, on that note,
have a good one.
Delays in Ottawa and Hamilton. On that note, fellas, have a good one. It was good to talk tonight. And that was really good info everybody put in tonight. Really enjoyed it. Have a good one, fellas.
All right, John, man. Talk to you later, bro.
Easy.
Okay, let's take a short break. We'll be back. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Candid Frank Live on Blog Talk Radio, and this is the Candid Frank and Live Football Talk Show.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to the Candid Frank Live Show, Puck Talk Edition. The players bump, the fans all going straight. with Frank Senishi. And Pat Legs. Call in. Let's talk hockey.
Yeah!
Sunday at 8 till 10. Hope you'll join us, Pat Legs and I. Okay, back to football. Just wanted to throw that in.
Hey, what's up, Jay?
Hello? Hello? Anybody there?
Up, Frank? I'm here. I'm
anybody
here.
Anybody there? Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. All right, Mike.
I'm here.
You wanna? You didn't talk much about Glenn. You didn't get your opinion in there. We kept moving so quick. We didn't get to you and Glenn. You got a couple of minutes here where you can lay out your foundation of feelings about Glenn and where he could go and the level of talent that he'll bring and who can he do better than and who could use his talents.
You know what, Frank? Some of the stuff that I listen to and I say, I listen to some of the guys, man. I don't agree with some of the things, but one thing I will agree on, I think that Ottawa, man, kind of played Kevin Glenn to the side, man. You don't make him your first selection in expansion draft. And then once you sign Henry Burris, it's like, okay, he's my starter. Man, that wouldn't sit right with me, you know what I'm saying, if I was Kevin Glenn. I mean, I would want to get up out of there. And, you know, when a guy has a distaste like that in his mouth for the way you have played him within the last couple of weeks, make him your first pick, and then now you sign Burris. The guy want to go. Give him a trade. And the guys that team that can benefit from him, Montreal, Toronto, BC Lions. Because it's just a matter of time before Travis Lule get hurt. And you have a quarterback competition in Montreal, and if Ricky Ray goes down, you have a qualified veteran, man, that can still give you some wins. And possibly can take you on a nice stroll. I mean, come on. As a starter, Kevin Glenn was 20-8 the last 2 years. Come on, man, that's not a bad record at all to be a backup quarterback for a team.
Not at all. You know, he went to the Grey Cup and went 14-4 another year, finished first. So, you know, that's not a bad record to have. But the fact remains that it's the CFL in the league. There, it's a numbers game, and it's all about assets and. And I don't think Ottawa wants to give up the asset that Glenn is, you know. And he's a great quarterback. It's too bad what happened to him. But you know what? It's the business and how it works. I don't think you'll see him. I don't think you'll see him traded before the season starts.
No, I don't either. And like the guys did say, and I do agree with it, it's going to happen mid-season when a quarterback goes down or somebody gets to struggling and they having maybe 4 or 5 losses in a row and they want to try something different.
Or you end up with a quarterback that you lose faith in that looked like he was very talented the year before, but maybe he isn't as good as you thought.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Not to name names, so, but...
Right, not to name names. Not to name names.
Not to name names.
You know, and you know what, Frank? Now that you mention it, and I'm not going to name no names of the quarterback. Actually, I think Hamilton would be the best viable place for Kevin Glenn to get traded to. Seriously, I mean, he didn't leave with a sour taste in his mouth. He was just traded. I mean, it's not like he left the team that he played for before with a sour taste and he wanted to be traded. I mean, the guy's a professional, man. He's a winner. Clock management. I mean, come on. You know, he does have some deficiencies in this game, but overall, Kevin Glenn is about the best backup quarterback that you're going to get in the CFL that can be a starter and take you to the promised land.
So he now sits in a situation, And Kelly, you were in the division where he sat in the situation where he was the quarterback with experience, and he had a couple of hot shots running flank on him that, you know, on any given day could have been the starting quarterback above him. And he survived that kind of situation. Do you think he looks back at that scenario and, like Mike says, could go to Hamilton? Because, you know, I think Caleros has the same kind of cachet, you know, that the two quarterbacks, the two youngsters, Tate, had, you know, with Glenn there in Hamilton. You know, it's a lot better scenario than being on the sideline with Burris, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, it's similar, you could say, and I think that's what the point you're making. And
yeah.
He was comfortable with it. He was comfortable with that last year, so no reason he wouldn't be. And, I mean, he's got a lot of reason to like Hamilton. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And then, Kelly, think about this too, man. You bring in, last year, you know, they was real high on the fever. And, you know, Jeremiah Mazzoli is going nowhere. That's Austin's boy. You know, he knows Austin's offense better than any quarterback on that roster right now. And you bring in a veteran guy like Kevin Glenn, I'm pretty sure that can learn, is a quick learner. I mean, come on, man, you need a veteran on that team. And I'm sorry, man, you signed Kevin Glenn, Lefebvre has to go. He's going to be an odd man out. And you got you a starter, a viable backup, and then you got a third stringer that's capable of coming in and winning you some games also if any of your first two quarterbacks go out. So Hamilton is the most logical place for Glenn. I think they should make the move. You can give up a couple of second rounders and get him. Come on now.
Well,
yeah.
He's going to be a valuable commodity regardless. Will it last or wait as long as you think? I'm not sure it'll be that long, to be honest with you. I happen to think that two, three games in, I think there'll be a team. The teams will start sniffing. They'll start kicking the tires on Glenn and what it'll take to get him out of Ottawa.
Mm-hmm. I just hope he didn't buy a house yet.
Oh, you know he didn't. You know he didn't. If he did, he bought a trailer.
Yeah.
If I'm Kevin Glenn, I buy a trailer. I want something on wheels.
There you go. And to get over to the BC Lions side, I actually think BC has to find them a viable backup. I mean, you know, you got Buck Pierce that just retired. Now he's the running back coach. I mean, it didn't take him long to get him a job, did it?
No, not long.
So when Lule goes down, man, you know, Wally got to think about who he needs to bring in to put some wins under that belt, because the guy that they have on their roster now, I don't have any faith in him. I mean, Lule, to me, is the number one. But once Lule get hurt, who you got? Like I mentioned before, John Beck, man, please, come on. I wouldn't even throw that dude a sandbag to play with. You know, come on.
Okay. Let me, before I forget, I'd like to give a shout-out to a great football player, local boy in B.C., Angus Reid, from Richmond, B.C., the graduated Simon Fraser, played for the B.C. Lions for 13 years, appeared in three Grey Cups, 1-2, and he retired this morning. Angus, we're going to miss you. Class act. Too bad Christopher isn't here to, you know, to blow his horn and, you know, let us know how great Angus Reid was. Suffice it to say that, you know, he's a three-time Western Division All-Star, 2011 All-Time All-Canadian. You know, he originally, in fact, he was drafted by the Argonauts and then ended up with Montreal and then went to BC. So, you know, he spent some time out here in the East and a great player. Now, in the last minute or so that we have left, we talked about, we got a real short, we got about a minute left. The Al's coaching staff, 30 seconds. Mike, do you think they have enough time to get things together?
Oh, yeah. They have enough time to get things together, man. Get these coaches in. Let them get to know each other a little bit. You know, come up with a nice offensive, defensive scheme. Al's will be okay. Just bring in the players to fit that mold. That's all.
On Monday, we can talk about the specifics about the players. Kelly, what do you think? Higgins put it together pretty quick, didn't he? He said he would.
Yeah, definitely. He did, and he's coming through on those words. He's a man of action. He always has been. You had to know this was coming.
All right. Well, listen, guys, thanks again for being on the program. Kelly Bale, Mike Townsend, they lasted through the whole thing. Bruce John Inch was the first one to bow out with dead batteries. John followed a lot later. And, of course, we had a return visit by Manasseh until he had to go back to work. And who am I missing? I'm missing somebody. I know it. No, I think that was it. Anyway, we had a great night. Thanks a lot, guys. You guys make it always very interesting. We always have a lot of fun talking CFL. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. This has been the Candid Frank Live football show, football talk show. Thanks for tuning in.
Take care, guys.
Mike has,
thank you, Frank.
Mike has left the building.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, y'all. Catch y'all later.
Later, man.
You too.